Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday afternoon. Final hour for us, as always, brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We'll get back into the big story of the day just a couple of minutes from right now. The Falcons' three-game winning streak comes to an end. A screeching halt yesterday at home. 20-point loss to the Seattle Seahawks. We'll dig into everything that went into that. We'll get back into some college football in 20 minutes as well. Obviously, Georgia with the biggest win of the weekend, biggest win of the year, honestly. Going into Austin and taking care of Texas like that was very impressive. We'll get to some of the other big games as well. And just a little bit, start to not really look ahead to this weekend, but there's some pretty unique teams that remain undefeated at this point. One of them is going to host game day coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, baby.
And,
you're right.
Abe Gordon, who is filling in for Randy all week long, went there. You went to Indiana. You don't talk about Indiana very much. Like, as much as, you know, you talk about stuff
that goes on in your life,
you don't really talk much about the Hoosiers.
It's no secret I am a Florida fan. I grew up a Florida fan. Sure. My dad went to Florida, so I was growing up.
Why didn't you go to Florida?
I thought my major mattered at the time.
Got it. What'd you major in?
Sports communication with an emphasis in broadcast.
Okay. Got it. Well, here you are.
And here I am.
Communicating sports via broadcast.
That's right.
So it did matter.
Well.
It worked out.
Maybe. At least I didn't have to take journalism school.
I did that. It was fun. I took
J101. That was it.
It's funny to have a degree in journalism, and I mean this with all due respect, because I do think we try to, you know, keep the level of whatever, journalistic integrity, whatever you want to call it. But, like, to do this, like, this job, which... Half the time is, you know, me and Randy talking about yams. And
last
stuff
Thursday's
like that.
Back page was a emphasis
like if you played,
in journalistic integrity.
If you played the sex doll conversation that we had on the back page last Thursday for, like, my media law professor.
Here's how to get ahead in radio.
I don't know. I don't know what they would think. They would be like, which is probably why my wife, who also went to the same school and is actually a journalist, they, like, email her all the time. She's, like, a guest speaker in classes. And, like, when they have, like, notable alumni, she's on lists.
Like, real credibility.
I'm like, I'm doing pretty good, too. Like,
Have you given a speech to any? I went back to school. I went back.
They haven't asked me to do anything.
I've done that.
Yeah, not
I've
one
gone
time.
Back to Indiana.
Not one single time have they asked me. Let me amend that. One time during COVID, she was asked to be a Zoom speaker to a class, and I was there because we live together because we're married, and the teacher had both of us, and she was like, Andy's in the other room, and she was like, oh yeah, you can bring him on too. So one time I got to piggyback.
You
onto
were a
sideshow. Yeah, exactly. And again, she is more impressive and a better journalist and all that kind of stuff. But still, like, I could talk to the radio class or something like that. You know?
You took, like, real classes. The funny thing for me at Indiana was my sports communication with an emphasis in broadcast. It was a combination of sports marketing and management, which is what, like, the sports agents and, people who are going into sales would do. And then, like, hardcore telecom classes where we are, like, learning the history of communication and the radio and irrelevant. Just...
Sounds fun, though.
I know who Marconi is now.
There you go.
So
somebody said after that segment, actually, we got a tweet.
Send it to the Marconi
Awards. We should have won a Marconi for that back page last Thursday, and I agree.
I'll look it up. Maybe I need to apply, and I'll send that in for you.
All right. Before we get back into the Falcons game yesterday, and we'll get back into college football in 15 minutes and talk about the actual games, can I just say something about my feeling about the broadcast of the Georgia-Texas game on Saturday
night. Hot take bunker coming right at you.
I don't know if it's a hot take or not. I think I'm probably in like pretty friendly company on this one, given that we're talking to so many Georgia fans here. Enough McConaughey. Like, enough is enough with Matthew McConaughey. Like, and I like him. I think he's great, obviously great actor. He's been in some great stuff. I read his book. I liked his book. I think he's a really interesting person. I'm a fan of Matthew McConaughey. But it's too much. Like, there's too much of him on the sideline during Texas games. It would be like third down, third and long, and it would be a big play is about to happen, and they'd shoot over to McConaughey, smacking himself in the arm, like with his, you know what I mean? Like, and not like maybe once or twice I get it pregame. Sometimes he's on game day, whatever. But like, they must have showed him 30 times during the broadcast.
Now, this is the Taylor Swift argument.
Yeah,
like this is the. At a Chiefs game, like enough. Like we know Kelce made a catch, enough.
But they show her like three or four times.
So you think McConaughey even
three
more.
Or four is enough. Three or
Do
four.
Do you think they pay
They're showing
someone
Matthew McConaughey like four times a drive?
Did they pay one operator to like McConaughey cam?
The McConaughey cam, probably.
Like they paid one to just and then they just cut to that cam.
Oh, he's all right. He's smiling. Got to cut over. Got to cut over. Got to look at him.
I'm getting tired of Michael Irvin.
He's got a cool jacket on. Got to cut over to him. We get it. He's cool. Likes Texas.
I'm getting tired of Irvin at Miami games.
Fair enough.
He's also just not doing normal stuff. Like, he's almost too much.
My argument is not so much about, like, okay, I'm not trying to be a hypocrite about other people. But it's like, if you are so mad about this celebrity, why not be mad about this one? Because they're providing the same insight or importance to the game.
Right.
Taylor Swift's just as irrelevant to the football game as Matthew McConaughey is to me. Like, again, cool jacket, nice cowboy hat. But that's it. Like, I don't need it.
Would
I don't
you
need
be able to
see
wear
it.
Like Glenn Powell's
no.
on the sidelines?
And that might
and he
be
had
part
a
of
cowboy
it too,
hat too.
Because my wife was like, "That's a cool jacket he's got."
Yeah,
I was like, "Yeah, I could never pull that jacket."
I don't.
Never in a million years. I could never in a million years wear.
You know who
like
could?
A, who? Who? Matthew McConaughey?
No, my dad.
Oh, your dad. Yeah, yeah.
My dad
sure. I thought you were
going
to say Jeff Francoeur and just drive it, really no. drive it home. All right, let's get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Brought to you by QC Kinetics. Non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
Bow!
National Football League, right? Yeah. You know, you got to come out and you got to play every week, and you got to come out ready to go every week, and we were not ready to go, clearly.
Nobody says stuff like that when the game goes good. Nobody turns the page to Tampa in the post-game press conference on Sunday. Nobody talks about the National Football League being the National Football League. There's so many. And I get it. Like, they lost a terrible game yesterday.
You might get a can't get too high after this victory sort of comment.
Sure, you're gonna get your garden variety cliches after any game. I understand it. But, like they pay those guys, too. Like, stuff like that only gets said when
it's
you...
It's tough to win in the NFL.
It's hard to win in the NFL. And Jesse Bates had some good ones, too. I was reading some quotes from him after the game. He was like, yeah, we're not trying to win four in a row. We're just trying to go 1-0 every week. Well, okay, you didn't. You went 0-1.
And you know what now? Back to the lab.
Now, I've got to go back to the lab. You got to get back in the lab and try to figure it out. I don't think it's that complicated, really, unfortunately. Like, that's the thing.
Oh, I disagree.
It would be, really.
What we saw yesterday, yeah. I think it is incredibly complicated because I don't think they know why it happened.
Interesting.
Nor okay. do I think they know how to necessarily prevent it from happening.
Okay.
You just hope it doesn't happen.
Let me slice that a little bit differently because I think there's parts of it that are easy to figure out
right.
and fix. And then there's other parts of it that I have no idea.
Can you start with the pass rush and make that one easy to fix?
You can't fix that. The pass okay. rush is terrible. It is what it is. Maybe they'll make a trade at the deadline right. and address it. But until that happens,
yeah.
it's the same thing. We don't need to beat that dead horse. I mean, don't turn the ball over would be a huge one. Three turnovers and one of them resulting in a touchdown. I mean, that was honestly as bad as things were.
Well, you talked about the stats. The offense didn't play that poorly.
Yeah.
They just didn't produce mm-hmm. in coordination with what the numbers showed. Bijan had a great game.
Had they not turned yeah. the ball over, even as frustratingly as they played and as undisciplined as they played from a penalty perspective, still have a pretty good chance to win the game.
Yeah.
Like, you take the seven away, obviously, then it's 24-14.
Even if you make one field goal as opposed to the turnovers.
Then it's 24-17.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're
right?
there.
And then you have at least the ball with a chance to win it at the end of the game. Like, I'm not trying to over-minimize these things and make it seem like the Falcons played better than they did, because they didn't. They didn't play well. The thing that I don't know how to fix, and I don't know how to explain, because there's probably a lot of different reasons for this when it happens, is coming out flat. I don't understand why a team playing how they had played pretty well. They had played pretty well at home, comes out and has three false start penalties on the first drive, has other bad penalties on defense that allow the Seahawks to keep drives alive, has dropped passes in situations that result in turnovers. Like, I don't understand how to explain a flat effort in a game like this when nothing has been proven.
I also would like somewhat understand being flat against the Panthers or flat against the New England Patriots, flat against a team you, quite frankly, and just going to be honest, don't think can beat you.
Yeah.
This was not that team.
And I don't think
care
so.
That they've
I
come in
so.
Losing a bunch in a row and yeah. that they've got this or this is not working for them, whatever. Like, this still felt like a dangerous team coming in. It'd be one thing to be flat against someone you should just roll out of bed and beat.
Well, that was
that
our,
team was, you weren't going to do it that way.
That was our concern last Sunday against the Panthers, right? Like, if this is a different Falcons team, then they won't play down
to
their
competition. Do we need to revisit that game? And kind of look and see if they were flat a little bit there. And I know the game got out of hand towards the end.
Now, there was definitely some stuff in the first half of that game that was a little bit like, all right, what are we doing here?
And then more of that this week.
Yeah, and then the whole game this week was a lot of that kind of stuff.
All right.
So, again, you can get away with it against teams like the Carolina Panthers. They played good, like high effort, pretty clean for the most part football against Tampa. And against New Orleans, and even, you know, as much as the pass game or the offense in general was not clicking in the first few weeks of the season, it was still like the operation just felt a little bit better, you know? Like yesterday, it just, so much of it just felt off. And again, I don't know how to explain it. I mean,
like I said throughout the show, the only thing we can hope is that we don't see it like that again.
At home. Three losses at home already. Two and three at home.
And the odd thing is we've seen Mercedes-Benz get amped up this season. They were not. And the team didn't give them a reason to be, which is...
Yeah, I did. I heard some of that yesterday. Like, the atmosphere wasn't... Well, all right, make it good. you know what I mean?
Honestly, it goes back to what I said. Like, we've all... That building's full of Falcons fans. Mm-hmm. And they saw on that first drive, I think they knew. I think they knew as well.
No, it was a pretty telling start.
Yeah.
Was... All right, we're just jumping off false start. We're just false starting three times on this. All right. Guys, game started.
We were holding on to hope that this team was different. They weren't.
And certainly weren't
like,
yesterday.
Because we had seen that. We've seen this effort and seen that game way too often.
Certainly weren't yesterday. All right, we'll come back. We'll get back into what was a pretty incredible college football Saturday, certainly capped off by Georgia's win over Texas. Alabama and Tennessee was a fun game. I thought Tech put up a good fight, but it's hard when you're starting quarterbacks out. I thought the defense played pretty well early, but that's just a tough one. We'll get to some of the other big ones from Saturday as well, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. 20 minutes away from the AMA. Ask me anything, any question, any topic. We'll get the phone lines open at 404-726-0929. For Falcons fans that didn't get a chance to call in at 1240 and voice your thoughts on yesterday's loss, you can 20 minutes from right now if you'd like to. Or you can just call for the AMA and ask us anything like normal. Abe Gordon filling in for Randy all week long as Randy is on a tropical vacation celebrating a milestone birthday for his wife. So far looking like they're having a pretty incredible time, except for, I guess, yesterday they took a wrong turn or something and ended up on like a moped in a rainstorm. And I'm not happy that that happened. It sucks that that happens. I only want good things to happen on their vacation. But it would have been...
I was going to say, this sounds like there's another shoe here.
It would have been kind of funny to just see Randy's... Like, Randy just has great reactions to stuff. Because I imagine he probably didn't want to take a moped ride to lunch.
I have a lot of follow-ups.
You know what I mean?
I have so many follow-ups.
I don't think I have any answers. All I know is I just read a little caption that said they got caught in a tough rain.
Was he driving the moped, or is he... He's not wrapping his arms around...
He would want me to fight you for even asking that question. No, he's not wrapping his arms around anybody. I don't know what the situation was. I guess.
Or is there someone who's supposed to be driving? He's like, I'll take the handle. He just starts driving from second seat.
Or he just turns around backwards and he's like, I'm not holding on, so don't knock me off. I don't know.
You think he's going butt to butt with someone? I don't think so.
No, man. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. And I don't want to answer it at all. Just go no comment on that one and hope everything's okay. But anyway, you'll be in for him all week asking hard-hitting questions like that. Let's start with the game of the day on Saturday. Everyone already knew Georgia was good, right? You weren't questioning whether or not they were good. You didn't know if they could do this. This was a great answer to some legitimate questions that people had about that football team after the loss to Alabama, and then just some of the performances that they've had and some of the things that you haven't been used to seeing from Georgia. You hadn't seen a dominant defense yet this year. You saw it on Saturday night against Texas, and let's just hear a highlight from the guy who certainly was the player of the game on defense.
Athlete. Meanwhile, Texas faces a 3rd-and-7. Ewers from the end zone, still trying to buy time, stumbles forward and takes a sack. Jalen Walker, the elite pass rusher, got there. A bunch of yards, not just to Alabama, but also Mississippi State. All-out blitz. Ewers cannot escape. They've got him again. Jalen Walker for a second time against this final minute. Pressure comes. Manning escapes on the run, trying to make something happen. Cannot get away from Jalen Walker.
I'll tell you what.
Jalen Walker was everywhere, especially in the first half, but good Lord, what a performance.
You know you've had a game when we can put together a montage of your performances.
Yeah.
That means something. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. When you have a montage of sacks, all in the first half, by the way, like that was his numbers that he had at halftime of that game. He ends with eight tackles, 3 sacks, completely disrupted everything that Texas wanted to do offensively. I believe they had 2 rushing yards at halftime.
When do you think they knew they were in trouble?
That's a great question. I think offensively they knew they were in trouble when they had to put Manning in the game.
That late? Way before that.
But then you have to remember.
I don't mean even in game control and like could they find a way.
I meant, oh no, we're in trouble sort of thing. These guys that we've heard about their potential showed up and are showing their potential
like
tonight.
I don't know,
midway through the first quarter probably.
Yeah, right, like. One of those first drives, he kind of shucked his defender and just ran straight to the quarterback.
Well, because they're going off against that tackle that's probably going to be a top 10 pick for Texas, certainly a first-round draft pick. And a big part of why people thought that Texas's offense was going to be able to do what they had been doing against other teams, against Georgia, those guys don't care about first-round draft picks. They're first-round draft picks. Like, isn't that, you can say, like, well, this guy's going to be a top 10. So are they. Like, Michael Walker's a guy that people talked about being a Michael Williams, potential number one overall pick. And he looked like it on Saturday, too. Those two guys combined for 5 sacks. That's outrageous in a game like that. So when we talked about last week what you need in order to neutralize an offense like Texas has and a quarterback like Quinn Ewers, that's exactly what it is. You knew they had the guys that could do it. You just hadn't seen them do it yet. And to me, that's probably the biggest question that got answered was, can Georgia's defense still be elite
when
they need to be? The answer is yes.
Well, you asked a question before we got to the Jalen Walker audio that was like, we all knew they could be great, and I don't think that's true if we're going to be honest. Like, I think there are plenty of people who questioned if they had that in them. And now we had all kind of suggested we think it's there, but we haven't seen it. I think there were people who genuinely wasn't sure it was there at all. Now, we got all these talented players. Michael is still talked about as one of the top 10 picks, and Walker and Malachi Stark. We knew the talent is there, but as a unit, as a defensive squad, I do think there were people who questioned whether or not that was there. And I think they did answer those questions. And for all the fans or even just the viewers like myself who are like, I feel like it's there, I'd like to see it, we did finally get that chance. The question is now, You have to maintain that effort. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to reproduce those results. You've got, I'm not saying Florida's coming out to beat you, but they've got an offense that's playing a lot better. They're hitting on big plays with DJ. He had five passes at 20-plus yards. You're going to have to defend that. You're going to have to affect him.
Five of the seven completions that he had went for 20-plus yards?
Yeah, one guy who caught three balls for like a $1.68. So
I'm just trying to tell the whole story.
Yeah, I agree.
To tell the whole story.
I'm just saying, you want to impact.
Yes. You can't just do it.
Don't let the second half against Alabama then turn into not a great effort against Auburn, not a great effort against Mississippi State.
Yeah.
I look at that from that defensive perspective. Don't let this one great effort turn into sleepwalking against Florida, and then maybe you play that way against Ole Miss or Tennessee or whomever it may be. I want to see this effort moving forward. And then I also want to see the offense now start to take steps at getting better as well. And I want to see you round into form where we see the offense at its peak and the defense at its peak in the college football playoffs, and then no one's going to beat you.
Yeah, if the offense gets anywhere near
they're going to kill teams.
The defense played on Saturday night. Because the defense played on Saturday night, like, especially in the first half.
In 2 years, is that Carson Beck's worst game?
I don't know. The Alabama first half was pretty bad. Like, I guess,
but
he
in
made
the
up
game overall, he came back.
Half. Yeah,
like you could argue it's his worst game. They won going away, and it could have been way worse.
There's an argument that that's his worst game. I don't know if it's his worst, but it was awful. Like Carson Beck played really bad in that football game. Three interceptions, obviously. Now some of them were on the receivers. A lot of the incomplete passes were on the receivers for sure. Guys getting hit in their hands and not making the play. But he hadn't been good enough.
Can we also
he hadn't been good enough.
If he throws the ball a little high, I don't mean like outrageously high, but like a little high, help him out, man.
Right.
Catch the ball.
Somebody go up and make a catch.
Like, it's not that high.
Or there was a couple like early in the game where, all right, it's a little behind you, but not. I mean, you
make
slow down and it hit you in the hands.
Yeah.
Like, make the catch. So some
I know
of the,
exactly the play you're talking about, too.
Yeah. Some of the struggles in the passing game are on the receivers because the receivers have let him down a lot. But that, again, I'm not trying to excuse any of it. He has not played well enough for this team to...
Yeah, it's not all on the receivers.
To I don't know. I mean, they are...
They haven't peaked offensively.
They
haven't hit their best offensively.
My opinion, the favorite to win the national championship once again, but...
That's just because you don't want in any world that other team to potentially be the favorite.
Here's what I'll say about
that's
that.
That's part of it.
Here's what I'll
you
say
know
about
that's
that
part
other
of it.
Team. Here's what I'll say about that other team. If Ryan Day wasn't the worst
they were
game
home.
Manager and they were at home, they would have a loss instead of Ohio State. But... For the same reason, I didn't believe that Texas was going to be able to do everything they needed to beat Georgia. I don't believe that Dan Lanning is that guy at Oregon. I think he's good. He's probably better than Sark. So every opportunity Sark gets to let you see stuff like this, he'll do it. Just go back and look through his. He's never won a big game in his whole life as a head coach.
Let me ask you this, because I think we now know that Georgia's back in, if you didn't have them in, whatever. Among the favorites to win the national championship. What is Texas now?
Yeah. I mean, they're still very good, obviously.
Clearly.
I mean.
How good, though?
Yeah.
They fell, what, to five?
They fell to five.
Are they one of the five best teams in the country?
Here's how good. I still think that they are. I just think they went up against a defensive unit that's elite and had a lot to prove on Saturday night. Here's how good Georgia played on Saturday, though. Quinn Ewers had gone 20 or so games without there being any question about Arch Manning. None. Like, there was absolutely no question.
Right.
There was no controversy. Ewers was a starter. Georgia made Ewers look so bad on Saturday night that they're now talking about, all right, what do we do?
There was one game last year against a bum squad.
Was it early?
It was like midway through the season.
Okay.
They were tied at 21 against, like... Eastern Colorado, which is not a real school, but like other than that,
they've got to be wondering about it because of the dynamic that Manning gives you with his legs. Like, yours can't escape. Like, if you play a pass rush like that, and I know like that is hard
Manning
to say.
Manning ran like four plays and turned it over, though.
He did.
Like,
no, there's
like,
no doubt.
I mean, that's
no doubt.
But
he also did have their biggest play of the night offensively.
Right.
Like, he got out, and I don't know how long he went, but it was 30 yards or so, and he got down the field. At least gives you that threat. Like, the disrespect that the Georgia edge rushers were showing and linebackers were showing the read option when Ewers was in there, like If he didn't,
they were crashing on runner immediately.
They didn't even look at him. No. Like, he would give it to the guy and then pretend on the edge, and they wouldn't even look at him because you don't have to.
By the way, like, this was probably, like, part of Sark not being where Kirby Smart is. Like, don't you have to run that play?
At some point.
Because
like, you have to let him keep it at some point.
Carson Beck is a pretty good athlete. Yeah. I think we saw some incredible movement from him, including a first down scramble that, like, kind of came out of nowhere. But, like, they would run that. If teams were crashing on ETN, they would definitely have Carson pull it.
Yeah. Classic Sark. That's what you get.
I don't know what Texas is yet.
You get a confused look, and he's always looking at his sheet, you know? Doesn't he know he wrote it? Like, the answer's not on there, man. Like,
I know we'll get into, like, this coming week later in the season.
He's pacing the sidelines looking at his sheet.
Are they on upset alert at Vandy?
Who?
Texas.
I don't know. That would be incredible. I hope so. I love the Vanderbilt story. That would be amazing.
I guess maybe I'm, like, way too beyond, like, questions about Texas. I'm probably
Texas,
going overboard with them,
yeah,
right?
I think they're still pretty good.
Going overboard.
I think they're still pretty good. I just think the best team in the country showed up and played like it for the first time.
It was really nice to see that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was.
And by the way, that was another moment. We've been talking about the Falcons, and now I knew immediately that it just wasn't it.
Yeah.
When you watched Georgia's defense, you were like, oh, they're ready to go, and we're going to see something that we haven't seen all season. And you knew it in the first quarter.
It felt like that playoff game against Michigan a couple of years ago, where it's like, oh, they're not fast enough to deal with this.
It was nice
to
see.
They're not going to be able to do the stuff they normally do. Which, again, it wasn't that hard to predict if you went and looked at what Texas had done and who they had done it against. But anyway, credit to Georgia for the win. That's a huge win. A handful of very surprising teams, 7-0. I won't say this one's surprising. The way they've gotten there the last few weeks is because Miami keeps just absolutely dodging bullets. Like, Louisville gave them everything they could handle. Their main questionable call later.
This one was okay.
Yeah, it might have been holding. I don't know. But Miami's 7-0. They are undefeated. You can't take it away from them. Iowa State remains undefeated.
Did you watch the end of that game?
UCF player drops the ball before he gets in the end zone.
Well,
they scored a touchdown one play later. It's still
Rocco
so
Beck,
bad.
They had to have a final minute drive to score a touchdown and go ahead. That was a really good game.
They were down the whole second half, and they had to come back and win that one.
Yeah.
BYU stays undefeated. That was a pretty good game,
too.
They
scored a touchdown with 10 seconds left after giving one up with a buck 13 left.
Indiana's undefeated.
Well, they blew out Nebraska.
Here's the thing. Indiana has
your face, John Fricke.
You trash talk Fricky when that happens?
It hadn't happened yet.
But,
I was hosting with him.
Do you text him or anything on Saturday?
No.
Okay.
I'm sure he's hearing it from the Maven. You know, she's an IU
gal. Right. They haven't trailed for one single second this year, Indiana.
No.
They've been leading every second of every game.
Yes.
And they blew Nebraska off that field on Saturday.
Yeah.
It was like 35-0 at halftime.
The offense wasn't a surprise, by the way. The defense was a surprise.
Played really good.
Yeah.
They played really good.
Yeah.
And the service academies remain undefeated as well.
Yeah, one more week.
Army and Navy. Both undefeated.
I think Navy gets Notre Dame this week. We'll see how that goes. Bo, you going to take Navy?
We'll see what that spread is.
You keep with that one?
I think it's 11.5.
Go midshipman.
I saw it at 11.5.
If you were smart, you could have got it at 14 to start the week.
I'm not smart. I've told you that about my gambling in college football this year.
When is that? On Sunday you could have got it at 14?
When it opened yesterday or Saturday night.
Oh, we're at the beginning of the week right
Vanderbilt
now.
Vanderbilt sneaks into the top 25. Top 25
Guess
matchup.
What?
Between
one
Vandy.
Game, one game, and then they get knocked
what
right
about
back
this,
out.
Though? What about this, though? They got the same record at this point of the season as Alabama, and they hold the tiebreaker because they beat them. Alabama fans don't like that one. I will say the return policy on Kalen DeBoer is good by me.
You
guys want to send
take
him?
It?
Yeah, we'll take him. You want to send him back up? We're like Costco. We'll take any returns. You want to send Kalen DeBoer back up?
What if you go on the road and upset Indiana this weekend? You might be in on Jed Fish.
I'm not in on Jed Fish.
No, okay.
I am not in on Jed Fish. We'll take DeBoer back and send him right back up to us. All right, AMA is next. Phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. Any question, any topic, Falcons fans welcome as well. If you want to call and talk about yesterday's game, that's totally fine. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org, the AMA to wrap the show up every single day. One phone line available if you want to jump on and ask a question, 404-726-0929. We'll start with JR, who's in Ackworth. Hey, JR.
Hey, Andy, how you doing, man?
Pretty good.
Hey, I hadn't talked to you guys in a while, man. I lost my brother back on the 23rd of August to a massive stroke.
Oh.
And so I had to go to Gainesville, Florida, for his celebration of life services, and it's just been busy. But
sorry to hear that.
For you, thank you, Andy. My question for you, Andy. This is my take, and you can let me know if you agree or not.
Sure, sure.
I think that it's going to take Billy Napier to win 3 or possibly 4 more games to salvage his job. I just don't know if we got enough more games left on the schedule to do that there. I just want to get your thoughts on that, Andy, and thanks for taking my call, and you guys have a great day.
Yeah, thanks, JR. And again, sorry for the loss, for sure, of your brother.
He's not winning 3 more games.
He's not going to. He's not going to. But
if his job is dependent on that, he's fired.
Just for people who don't know, Billy Napier obviously is the head coach of the Florida Gators. They've won 3 out of the last 4, and they put up a good fight against Tennessee on the road. In which
he cowered and didn't go for 2 in the win.
It's true.
That's its own discussion.
It's true. The next 4 games they have are Georgia.
Cool. Easy.
At Texas.
Done.
Ole Miss.
Bring it on. Who else you got?
And then Florida State, who they definitely
you've got LSU.
They definitely
I think.
Will beat. Oh yeah, my bad. I skipped LSU.
Don't worry. They might only be ranked 7th or 5th.
Georgia at Texas, LSU, Ole Miss. Those are the next 4 games. Yeah, man. If he wins 3 out of those 4 games, which he's not gonna do,
he wins 3 out of 4.
You
got to
keep
an extension.
Yeah, you got to keep him. You got to keep him.
We've seen at Florida State, there was an opportunity for this Florida team to quit. They have not quit on him.
Yep.
He's now in a situation that a lot of people wanted, which was DJ Lagway to play because of injuries.
Yep.
And it kind of worked out. And obviously, you never want anyone to go down, unless you're Cleveland fans, I guess. But you never want anyone to go down. It has worked out kind of in the best way possible in terms of Graham Mertz letting Lagway learn a little bit and now taking over. We'll see. But, I think a lot of people have come off the – this is not going to go well, but he may still keep his job.
Yeah, no, I'll give him credit.
They could have quit, and they did
them,
not.
And also the administration very well could have fired him after what? After the A&M game or after the Miami
opening game against
week
Miami?
One. Because everyone just proclaimed them dead, and then they're not great, but
they're still fighting.
They're fighting.
They're fighting.
And we've seen with many teams in college football over
could've
the last couple years,
yeah,
this year specifically, Florida State has definitely packed it in on their coach. Ed is in Lawrenceville. Hey, Ed.
Hey, fellas. Good to talk to you. I completely agree. The McConaughey thing is just, I'm done.
Enough's enough.
Yeah. Well, even game day when they were at Michigan, they were charting his private plane when he got to the game. I'm done with that. Abe, you mentioned Michael Irvin. I'm the same way. I'm done with him. And I know this take is going to bug both of you, but I'm sorry. It's just how I feel.
Okay.
I'm tired of Ben Herb Street's dog.
Okay. That's where you lost me, Ed. I'm for the dog content. I got no problem with the dog content.
That's also mostly pregame. In-game.
Thank you, Ed.
In-game for the most part, unless Ben walks onto the broadcast, which he does from time to time.
From time to time.
They mostly keep that pregame, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and they do some of their online content and stuff like that with it.
And they're making credentials for him.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know. He's a cute dog. I don't know. It's going to be hard for you to get me to jump aboard with an anti-dog take. Teams getting cute dog. Remember when Atlanta United got a cute dog a couple years
ago?
It's a great move.
His name was Spike.
Spike. It's a genius.
Got adopted.
Golden retriever named Spike. Was he? I don't know what he was. But I'm for Herb Street's dog.
My guy Tyler Algier had an adoption event last week.
He did.
Ozzie Albies was doing. Ozzie always does stuff. But yeah,
I love it. Hang on. Let me. When is the? Isn't that the golf tournament that we do later this year? Pets for Vets?
I don't know.
The Brown Grass Classic, I believe. Pets for Vets. Anyway, Zach's in Gwinnett. Hey, Zach.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Zach.
So Abe, you're anti goalpost tearing down, right? And I'm not coming here to gloat about the Tennessee-Alabama game.
Okay.
I'm not, but I'm curious what's on your bingo card to tear down a goalpost and throw it in the Tennessee River.
Yeah, I just don't think you could be a top 10 team.
Exactly. Like, it's funny that you ask because he literally has a bingo card. He has a 12-bullet point manifesto about what is and is not acceptable as far as storming the field.
You take into account the streak and how long it took Tennessee to beat Alabama. Maybe it's
Checked, the streak at home was 1-0. Right? Like, didn't you beat him? I mean, so like that streak's not relevant. I don't know. You're a top 12 team. You're I guess you're underdogs by what, 3 points?
It's Alabama, Abe.
It's Alabama, Abe.
Yeah, I don't.
It's Alabama,
care.
Abe.
I don't care.
Hey,
is Georgia gonna rush the field because it's Alabama?
Hey Zach. You guys won, sure. And I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, no.
You should.
I had a cigar.
Everyone else can do what they want. I'm just saying I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, right, and that's what it all comes down to.
Everyone else can be.
Everyone else is going to go have fun and do the fun thing, and Abe's going to not.
Here's the long-running basis of my anti-rush the field thing.
Yeah, where'd this start? Is this a childhood thing? Did someone rush the field on your team?
No.
Okay.
Probably. But here's the thing. I'm sure Mississippi State rushed on Tebow back then. I don't think you should rush the field if winning the game is a decent probability heading in. Like to me, that is insulting to the players and coaches because as a fan base, you are shocked, surprised, and in disbelief that you have won the game. To me, that's what rushing the field used to mean. Now it's just you upset anyone and you rush the field. That's fine. So I've come off of it. But back in the day, I always took it as a shot of disrespect to your own team because you didn't think they could win that game.
I get where you're going with the logic because I always
nowadays it doesn't mean anything.
I think it's dumb when teams will chant overrated when they beat a team. It's like,
then
you're saying that
they didn't beat a good team.
They
then.
Just sucked and you beat them because of that. Don't say they're overrated. Accurately rated. That's what you should chant. Accurately rated.
That's a terrible
get that
chant.
Start. Get that started up.
We don't chant that. But.
Yeah, that's what you need to be saying. Andrew's in Buckhead. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Abe. Oh my gosh, we'll get off your lawn as quickly as possible. Jeez Louise. Like,
as long as there's no goalposts on your lawn, Abe's fine.
So I'm going to give a shout out to Bo real quick because I was listening to his fantasy show over the weekend, and this is part of my question. So Bo said, I forgot what it was in reference to, but he said, he's like, if it happens, I'll eat a crow, which I've never heard before in my life. And I don't even know what that would mean. And my grandfather came and visited me, and he gave me an old $50 bill, an old Ulysses S. Grant with, like, still had the frame in it.
Oh, yeah.
I went to a barbecue place, like, in a parking lot that was cash only. I gave him the $50 bill, and the guy said, I'll slap my knee and tickle my sister. I've never seen this before in my life. And I've just been taken back by idioms recently, uh-huh. So I want to know what the craziest idiom you guys may have ever heard.
My mother-in-law is the idiom queen. Like, she just has all the good Western North Carolina hillbilly phrases. And one time she said she was hot. It was like hot in the house. And she was like, oh, it's hot. I'm spread out like a hot breakfast. And I was like, that's descriptive. That is a descriptive way to talk about how you were spread out, how hot you were. Eat a crow is a funny way to say it because people say eat crow. We'll make you eat crow. But in order to do that, you're right. You would have to actually eat a crow. I know sometimes we ask you about eating random
so
animals.
I think that I probably said
you ever eaten a crow
eat
before?
Crow.
Oh,
if I'm wrong on this call, I'll eat crow. Or maybe I did say eat a crow, but that's definitely what I did mean.
No, you say that quite often.
Yeah,
I've never actually eaten a crow.
Yeah, I listen every week. You say I'll have to eat my crow. Like, that's a relatively common saying for
you.
Yeah,
crow is a fairly common one, I feel like. Egg on your face. Oh, he's got egg on his face. Why does that mean? What does that mean that for? I know what it means, but why does it mean that? Where does that come from? I always want to know where these phrases start. Huh? Your mic's not on. Now it is.
Oh, why are eggs spread in such negative light?
Yeah.
I like egg.
I love eggs.
Do you like egg being thrown on your face?
No.
Okay.
But there's a lot of things
on your face.
But there's a lot of things that
are thrown on
my face.
How else is it going to get there?
Well, you just eat it poorly and it stays there. Like when you're eating hot wings.
That was sauce. That wasn't the chicken. That was the sauce.
No, it was, but you had sauce all the way over here. You missed, is all I'm saying.
I had gotten to my napkin usage
yet. You had missed. It was like in your dimple.
I was gonna get there. Thank you for noticing my dimples.
I didn't notice your dimples. Damn it. Randy's gonna be furious about that one. Furious about that one. Let's get to takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
Oh. That's an all-time let your guy down move right there. Nobody can tell him about that one. We'll keep that between the how many, I don't know how many there are, all of us. That means you out there driving around. You stay off Twitter. Don't be Twitter snitching on me. All right?
Well, all now they're gonna.
Takeaways of the day. Abe has a 12-bullet manifesto about field storming.
Manifesto is such a negative connotation.
Manifesto, I looked it up. Manifesto is just a public declaration of policy.
Yeah, you think so that's what it is nowadays? Yeah. How come the only time I hear about manifestos are, you know what, never mind.
I know, you're never right. Mind.
The Falcons look like they all donated blood on Sunday.
We can neither confirm nor deny that Randy went butt to butt on a moped.
Come on.
And Andy noticed my dimples.
Damn. We'll check in with Dukes and Bell next. They're at Buffalo Wild Wings at the Perimeter Mall. We'll see what they have for you after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.